to time for Blog it to come
Talk
on.
Radio.
Okay, here we go.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, Blog Talk listeners. Thank you so much for listening in tonight. Praises be to God for another opportunity to come to you live on Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to My Sister, My Friend, a Blog Talk show that is dedicated to reaching all women. We want to be an encouragement and uplifting and provide resources for all their needs and concerns. Thank you for joining us tonight, and we have a special guest on our show tonight who will be joining us in a month or so with her on Blog Talk Show. We have Sister Monette Legs. Would you say hello to our listening audience, Monette?
Hello, everyone.
And we have our president, Sister Beverly Beasley. Say hello, Beverly.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. I hope you're listening and calling in with lots and lots of questions.
Amen. Amen. And to those that are listening in or on the computer, we can be reached at 310-982-4126. 310-982-4126. If you want to join in on a conversation tonight, or if you have a comment or question for our guest tonight, please feel free to join us. Now, at this time, I'm going to allow Sister Monette to go ahead and introduce herself and tell us a little about herself.
Hello, everyone. My name is Monette Legs, and my husband's name is John Legs. Sorry, but my husband couldn't be here tonight because he's at work trying to provide for the family like most married men should, right? And so I'm standing in the gap for him on tonight, and I am so excited to be the guest of this show on tonight to talk about the new upcoming Mojo Blog Talk Radio show that's going to be centered around marriage. And so one might ask, so what makes you and John the marriage expert? And so I'm glad you asked. The answer would be that we really don't claim to be experts. We have been married for only 4 years. Let me disclose that. But unfortunately, this is not our first attempt at marriage. So John and I believe that we have something very special and that we have been chosen by God to help others. We're not marriage counselors. We're just two individuals united in holy matrimony to help share our wisdom and knowledge about marriage with hopes of helping other married couples. So now, basically on our show every week, we want to address issues concerning marriage or relationships. We want you to be able to understand the necessity and importance of verbal and nonverbal communication. We want to help you discover ways of resolving conflict. We want to give you key ways to get over foreseen or unforeseen obstacles. We want you to help understand your total partner. We also want you to understand how to really love and how to forgive yourself as well as others. We want you to help move towards the future in a relationship, and this might be after a broken relationship or after a divorce. We want to help you to be able to decipher who's in charge and who should take charge at certain times. We want to help you understand how to blend a family. We've had to deal with that, and we'd like to share with you on that. How to deal with exes who haven't let go. And I don't know about you, but I've had to deal with that too. If you've ever dealt with baby mama drama, we're going to talk about that. Or baby daddy drama, because a lot of people always want to talk about baby mama drama, but also there are some daddies out there who also bring drama. Other topics, supporting your mate during health issues, loss of job, or money problems, discovering the unknowns you never knew about that individual, because of course, you know, as the old adage says, you don't know a person until you live with them. So tips on how to be a good wife, we're going to talk about some of those. Tips on how to be a good husband. One good topic, how to love when it hurts. Don't you hate it when when someone has hurt you and you know the Christian thing to do is to love them and forgive them and move forward. And sometimes you have to love when it hurts. So our tentative date to launch our show is October 16th. So we want you to all to tune in and be a supporter of this awesome marriage ministry. Thank you, Sister Lewis.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much for expounding on that startup. Now, I have some questions that I want you to expound on. And one of my questions is, why do you think this is so needed, and what audience are you targeting? Are you targeting the older generation, the younger generation, or just tell me why that answer that question for me. I'm sorry.
Okay. We're actually targeting married couples, but this blog talk radio show is for anyone, whether you're single or married and you're thinking about getting married, or if you've been married, say you've been divorced and now you're single, and you just feel like you need some, you know, cultivating in that area to where you can grow, you can understand marriage, you can listen to people who might have concerns or questions or comments about marriage, because marriage is a job, and it takes God, especially in this day and age, to help a marriage and to bring you through all of the issues and all of the obstacles that you face. So really, Sister Lewis, our talk show is for anybody, any able body who's willing to listen and who wants to acquire more knowledge and wisdom about relationships, young or old.
Okay. All right. Very good. So even the older generation that might need some help with their relationships or some topics, or the non-married women that are needing to get some direction in their marriage, in their dating. Are you going to have subjects such as dating or giving them some information on dating?
Yes, I will. I'll give them information on dating. We'll talk about dating. We'll talk about the importance of dating and how to date. You know, everybody wants to, you know, put a stipulation on how to date. But the truth of the matter is the way you date may not be the way someone else dates, because you're dealing with two different individuals. For example, my husband and I, we didn't date long before we got married. You know, like I said, we both came from divorces. We had gone through some things. And I think when you get to a certain age, you kind of know what you want. And so you don't have to, you know, draw out, you know, a long relationship unless that's what you choose to do. But as for us, you know, we didn't date that long before we got married. For someone else, they may date, you know, a little longer. It just depends on those, you know, those two individuals. So, yes, we will talk about dating. We will have some very hot and heated conversations. But we'll all keep it, you know, in content about dating and the importance of dating.
Amen. Okay. Did you say we're going to be discussing money issues and financial woes and who needs to handle the money and give tips on those kind of issues also?
Oh, yes, ma'am. We will be talking about money and how to handle, you know, your money and who should handle the money. Because that is a very important topic in marriage. And there's a high percentage of divorce rate because of money, because of greed, because one couple might have more money than the other. In this day and age, a lot of women are self-dependent. They're independent and not so much codependent on the male as in the days of old. So you get a lot of women who are self-sufficient and they make a lot of money, and sometimes they want to wear the pants. And even in doing so, they have to realize their place in a relationship and be humble enough that if their husband doesn't make enough money, that they can still be in that woman role and allow him to play the male role as God has instructed. So, yes, we will talk about money. We'll talk about spending habits and shopping and all those good things that we as women love to do, and sometimes there are men who love to shop. So we'll talk about things like that and ensuring that you're taking care of your business and your home first. And so those will be some hot topics as well.
Okay, I got one other one, and then I'll let Beverly come in and ask some questions if she has any for you. But what about sexual issues and topics like that?
I'm sorry, what did you say, Sister Lewis? There's some background noise.
Okay. About the sexual issues that we might have?
And I think, you know, Sister Lewis, a lot of times in churches, you know, they don't touch on sexual problems and issues that married couples have. So they go to church, they go through their normal routine, and they have these issues and they carry them daily because they're afraid to talk to their pastor or they're afraid to talk to a marriage counselor at their church or within their community because they're afraid their business is going to get out. And so in this day and age, it's really hard to trust individuals, but God will always put people in your life that you can trust. But the most important thing to do is to trust your mate and to trust each other in a way that you can talk about those tough topics. And sex is very important in a relationship, and you have to understand your place and your mate's place and where you are. And if there are problems, you have to be open and ready to discuss them. So, yes, sex will be a topic as well.
Amen. Okay, you were talking about blended families. You said that without getting into the show, is that a big issue today for younger people or older people? Or who do you think it affects the most?
I think it affects
both?
Anyone who's been married, or anyone who hasn't been married but yet they're waiting for their mate, whether male or female. Because in today's society, the divorce rate has increased tremendously, where you have more and more people getting divorced, and God is not pleased with divorce. That's in his word. However, he allowed Moses the decree of divorce because of the hardening of man's heart. And in that, you know, there are divorces. I've been divorced, like I said, and my husband's been divorced, and it's not always easy. So, yes, I had children going into the marriage. He had a child going into the marriage, and we had to learn how to blend our family in such a way that our children would respect each other and get along, and sometimes that's not always easy because kids can be territorial. So we will touch on those topics, and we'll talk about how we were able to blend our family in such a way that it's coming together. It's still a work in progress, and it will always be a work in progress, but you can do it. So we want to enlighten our listeners on that and give encouragement to anyone who's interested in hearing.
Amen. Beverly, do you have any questions for Sister Monette?
Yes. One of the, since I've been retired, I've got a habit of watching Divorce Court and Judge Judy. And one of the things that I noticed on Divorce Court and Judge Judy fusses about it a lot, is couples living together and acting as though they're married. So when they decide to separate, they treat it as though they're married and want to separate all their property as though they were married. How do you, and they think that's a trial period to decide if they want to get married. And how do you address it when a couple is wanting to live together to determine if they want to get married? What would your advice be to that couple?
Okay, to put it all out on the table, because I really feel like everyone should be in the know, and I feel like that if you're going to put your business out there and you're going to, you know, have a blog talk radio show, you need to be honest to your listeners. So John and I, we did live together before we were married. At the time, we were not living as saved Christian people should be, so we were not living like holy like we should have been. But as a Christian woman, I suggest that that's not the best approach because God, you know, talks about us as fornicators and adulterers. However, we serve a forgiving God, but, you know, when you come into the knowledge, the Bible says walk therein. So I don't suggest it. It depends on what state you live in. Texas is a community property state, and after 6 months, I believe, you can take someone to court and, you know, possibly obtain certain personal property and things of that nature. So you have to be careful because sometimes that can really mess things up because you might have habits, he may have habits that you really don't realize until you're married. Now, if you see those habits beforehand, you know, it's a possibility that you could lose that individual. And when you are married, marriage brings about a strong covenant, and you feel that covenant because it's a covenant before God. And any time a covenant is made by God, generally it's made with the shedding of blood. And we'll get into that later on, on another show. But with that said, I don't think it's wise. I don't think it's appropriate. I have been guilty of it. If I could do it all over again, I probably would. But I would say no, it's not the best approach. Sometimes it's not healthy for the children if you do have children involved, because who's to say that you're really going to marry and that he or she's going to follow through with that. So I think that if he stays in his own place and you stay in your place and then you combine what you have in the process of getting married, then I think that's the best approach, because it can cause a lot of woes, a lot of problems in the end. And word to the wise woman, don't co-sign for a man anything before you get married, and vice versa. Amen.
Yeah, that's one of the big, like I said, they're trying to play married without having the marriage license, without coming before God. My husband and I lived together too before we got married. We weren't saved, so. Mm-hmm. But I realized that looking back 28 years ago, it wasn't the best thing. But at that time, I didn't know that it wasn't a good thing to do. So, but I learned over the years that it's not a really good thing, because, like you say, you get involved. And when you start living together, you start commingling. What Judge Judy always tells the people, you always start commingling your stuff. And when you start commingling your stuff, it's really hard to sit down and go over what's yours, what's mine. The thing about the state of Texas is it's a year, and what they ask is, have you spoken to someone and called this person your wife? And
exactly.
If you've done one of anybody,
right,
it makes you you're under the law then, and now we have to go through the process of separating. But the other question is to you is, what about the young ladies, and we still hear young women talking about it today, where they don't want to be subjected to the man? What's that term that they use? They don't want to obey. They don't want to be subjected, under subjection to him. And I think they have it misconstrued.
Well, you know, to each his own, because if you want to get married, you have to be subject to somebody, okay? So if you're going to have that attitude, I would just say stay single, because it's not going to be wise to get married unless you're going to get a weak man who's going to do everything you tell him, and eventually that's going to get old and boring, because most women marry a man so they can have that dominant place in their household. And no one wants a weak man. Even getting married, you know, you want someone who's going to make that stand. They're going to be able to redirect you and guide you. And me personally, I have a very strong personality, but I'm not, I'm wise enough to understand I don't know everything, and that God uses my husband all the time to help redirect me, to help balance me, to help give me a word, to help give me guidance, to help give me wisdom. And the Bible says the two shall become one. So if you're already one, then you don't need anybody else to help
That's
you
right.
become that one. Okay?
That's right.
And we're just going to keep it real. So don't say you want to be married if you're still going to act like a single woman, because marriage changes you, and there are going to be some things that you may have done as a single woman that you may not be able to do as a married woman, and you've got to be okay with that if your husband doesn't want you to do that.
Yeah, I agree. I really think the young women today in your show is going to be a welcome. It's going to be a welcome into the community, because I think a lot of women really need to know what their place is in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not being subjected to him. You know, it's like when there's a storm brewing or wind blowing, your husband is there, you step behind him. you know, you want him to protect you, and you want to cuddle behind him and, you know, see this big old strong man take you out front. And it's a privilege to sometimes we don't like it, but when your husband steps up, you know, the first time my husband told me to be quiet, I'm like, I looked at him. He said, yeah, I said, be quiet. You know, and at first I'm like, okay, well, I didn't say nothing else. I was like, okay. And you have to be willing to take that sometimes. But a lot of women, like you said, they're used to wanting to run their own show. And I think that's a big cause of a lot of marriages dissolving today, because a lot of women are not willing to be equal partners or willing partners with their husbands. So I think your show will help a lot of young women, particularly, understand what marriage is all about.
Wonderful. Well, we hope so. We really hope so. Thank you.
I believe it will help some of the older women who have not come to that conclusion in life that they need to be subjected, or they don't like the word obedient, but that is something that we must do, because I'll have to be honest, it took me a long time.
Well, really, we're obedient one to another. I'm not being obedient to him, and he's not being.
Right.
We both have to do it to each other. And the other thing that your program, I hope you will bring out, is the ability to communicate. I think that's one of the biggest things, like you said, money is. But I think that's another big issue that needs to be addressed, is how couples need to communicate.
Yeah, we've counseled, several couples who have had the issues of communicating for various reasons. And communication is one of the key necessities to keeping your marriage together, whether that's verbal communication or nonverbal. It's really important. It's a key factor in order to keep your marriage and keep your marriage together and keep that glue. It's the glue, because without communication, how do you know, how your mate is feeling? How do you know how their day was? I mean, you have to talk. You have to communicate. So when the communication shuts down, the heart becomes cold. Communication keeps the heart soft, because you can always say, baby, I love you, and I'm sorry for what I said to you last night. You see how those kind words soften the heart? But if you don't say that you're sorry and you're quiet, even when you know you're wrong, or maybe you're not wrong, the Bible says suffer wrong for righteousness' sake. And sometimes I've apologized when I didn't feel like I was wrong. But that was to keep the peace so we could move on. And he's done the same. He's done the same. So it's very important to communicate, because once you close down and you shut down that chain of communication, then you are setting yourself up and you're setting your marriage up for failure. So communication is the key, and, yes, we will talk about that as well.
Wonderful. I look forward to it.
I have a question also. Will you be giving out tips to the listening audience about how to keep your marriage fresh, and giving some tips to enhance your communication, or keep enhance your relationship, even if if you've been married for 150 years and it's just like a humdrum now? And, there's people who have these kind of situations that, where I know him, he know me, and so that's all that matters. So how will you be giving out tips and hints and stuff like
Absolutely.
That for those situations? Yeah,
Absolutely.
Because I think that would be beneficial to all of those that have been married forever, on how to enhance your marriage or how to keep it lively. And also another thing that I was just thinking was about prayer. We will need to expound on. I wanted you to expound on that, about how important it is to pray with your spouse or your significant other, or whatever relationship you're in, because that's going to be a key as well as communication. So you want to kind of go into that a little bit?
Yeah.
I have a question.
Okay, let me finish. Sister Lewis just finished expounding about. First and foremost, there are a lot of couples who have been together for many years, and as you get older, you somewhat get complacent in your marriage. And, it's not just with older people. It's some people you know, they stay in a marriage for about 2-3 years, and they get very complacent and kind of lazy and lackadaisical in their marriage. And so my husband and I, you know, we have taken on the motto of kind of living life like every day is the weekend, so to speak. So we do some spontaneous dating, and it's not planned dating. He might come home from work, and I might say, hey, baby, let's go up to this restaurant and hang out and eat and have dinner. Or he might say, hey, baby, let's go to the movies tonight, and it's a Wednesday. But it breaks up that same monotony of just doing the same old thing over and over again. And so there are ways that you can spice up, you know, the marriage. And it's not just with sexual contact, you know. There are things you can say, things you can do around the house, things you can set up for your mate or that he can do for you. And communication, like we said before, communicating what your needs are and letting your mate know what you like, what you need. Because we as people, we change in relationships, and we change from season to season. The things that I liked in my 20s, I didn't like in my 30s. The things that I liked in my 40s, I didn't like them in my 30s. So you change, and as you change, that relationship changes. And so as that relationship changes, it's very important for you to understand the center of that relationship, the head, the center, and your everything, and that's God. And I truly believe that a family who prays together stays together, and prayer is very important, and having a relationship with Christ. I do believe some couples can make it, even if they, you know, how can I put this? Because I see worldly couples, too, who have been together for many years, right? But I can see their struggles being different than ours in a way that we find a copacetic way of handling situations because we have that foundation, which is the foundation of Christ. So God gives you wisdom, and he helps you mm-hmm. through things, whereas if you don't have him, yeah, you might make it through, but in what way? You know what I'm saying? Because the Bible says my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. And so sometimes it may seem like, oh, my goodness, I don't know how we're going to get out of this. And then God will come in, and he'll show you how to work out that situation, or he'll give you an answer about a certain situation or issue. So, yes, prayer is very, very important. It's a must in my book. And then also, you know, keeping that spontaneity in your relationship, being spontaneous and learning to do things outside of the box so things don't become complacent and so that you or her won't get bored in the relationship.
Amen. Okay. Sister Lewis, do you mind if I ask her this question here?
No, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Okay. I want to know, I'm hearing that I'm not married. I'm single. But okay. I'm hearing marriage stuff, and that's good because I will be taking notes so that when I do get there, I will be heads up. But here's my question. Can you share with us, as being before you got married, I want to know, because we're living in such a different era now, Christians, mm-hmm. non-Christian, it doesn't matter. Dating has totally changed 100%. Yep. It's okay. Not like it used to be in courtship that I remember, you know, how men would come and bring you your favorite, you know, candy or Coke or, you know, I remember back then and how they would say, you know what, baby, if you come here, I'll fill your car up with gas. They're not, mm-hmm. they don't even get it when you step on the city bus. You know, men are sitting, taking their seats. They're not even letting the women sit down. We have to stand up to the Cowboys game, and all the men were in the seats, and all the women were standing up. So you can tell there has been a shifting in relationships and to the men. So I would like for you to share with me as a single woman. See, we need some Naomis out here, you know, that okay. will help us little roots out here to be able to maintain a relationship. What were some of the conflicts that you guys had to go through in order to get to that marriage?
Okay.
Is my question good?
You brought up a good point. The Bible says that in the end days, men's heart will wax cold, and you have to understand
yes.
where we are and what we're dealing with. It's just not the men in the restaurants who won't give up their chairs. It's the young man as you're coming out the grocery store and he fails to open the door for you. Or it's when your hands are full and you're going to the car and you can't trust anyone to help you open up the car door in fear of them taking your purse. So these are the days and times that we're living in. But we serve mm-hmm. a God that never changes, you know. You ask yourself, yes. what has changed? He's changed, but God has not, he's not changed. So his promises are still active. His promises are still there. When I was, when I went through my divorce, I went through a horrible time, and I went back out into the world seeking, kind of experimenting, and I saw firsthand that everything had changed, everything. I even dated on the internet to help get information for one of the books that I'm writing, and I saw the dirtiness, the filthiness that it entailed, and it made me so sick that I was like, this ain't it. So what I did was I said, God, and I talked to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I know who I am, and I know whose I am, and I know what you placed in my heart. The Bible says, according to your faith, be it unto you. So what I did was I began to take off the old man and put back on the new man, and I began to walk in faith and not look at the things of the world, because they're always going to be there. But I started to look back on my father, who never changed. So what if they didn't put gas in my car? I served a God that one time my tank was empty, and you can believe me if I want to, I began to pray and cry out to God, and he moved my gas tank, my gas hand, in a supernatural way. It scared me so I screamed. But that's what type of God that we serve. We serve a God that will take care of his own. And he will send your Boaz to you to bless you, to help you, to lift you up, to build you up. But one thing you have to believe is that there is a Boaz there for you. So when you get somebody and you start seeing the signs in them, our problem is we always try to kind of justify different behaviors. But God
Right.
with the Holy Spirit to let us know the signs that are there. When you're dealing with a man and you drive up to a restaurant and he don't get out and open your car and you know that you deserve to have your car open, you shouldn't date him anymore. If you tell him, look, I like my car door open, and he tells you, you know what, I ain't going to be able to do that, then you probably know that ain't the man for you, because if he can't open the car door for you, he ain't going to be able to put gas in your tank. He ain't going to want to put gas in your tank. A man that loves you is willing to do anything for you, and they're still out there, and they exist. I don't care what the world say. I don't care what it looks like out there. God has someone just for you, but what he wants us to do is to believe and to surrender unto his will and to his way, and just trust him, and he will send him. I never, ever stopped doubting that God had a Boaz for me. And he let me know spiritually, Monet, you're going to know because you're going to see it in his eyes. And every time my husband looks at me, I know he loves me. And I had to go through a lot to get here because of my disobedience, because of my lack of wanting to believe the truth and hear the truth when it showed its face. Oh, no, well, maybe he's this, and no, maybe. I mean, my last husband, to be honest, God told me not to marry him, showed me why I should not have married him, and I married him anyway. So there is a man out there for each and every one of us. And if you doubt it, guess what? Then it won't happen. But if you believe and you trust God, and you believe in God, not looking for him for material things, not looking for him. Yeah, you want your husband to help you. You want him to be self-reliable, self-sufficient. Don't get me wrong. But in that same notion, you have to know what you really want in a man, what you need, your desire, and never, ever, ever give up hope. Never, ever give up hope, and never doubt God, because he has not changed.
Amen, amen.
Right.
So you mentioned about behaviors. You mentioned about, and I'm going to let you guys get back on the marriage. You mentioned about different behaviors.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned that God is a God of, you hear, and I kick solely against it when people say you're going to have to put up with something. I don't agree with that, because I believe, like you said, if God sent you a man from him, what do I have to put up with? Because do I have to put up with somebody that has molested somebody? Do I need to put up with, not your past and not being delivered, not what I'm saying, but your insecurities? I mean, you're a whole, when we meet, just like you said about your husband, when we meet each other, you know, there should be wholeness. I shouldn't have to put up with insecurities when God spoke it in his word. I shouldn't have to put up with a man that lies when God said, lie not one to another. I shouldn't have to put up with jealousy because jealousy is cruel as a grave. So what is it that I need to put up with? The only thing that I say, and
so
I say to the single.
Huh?
Go ahead.
No. So you know as a woman what you want to put up with, okay?
Thank you.
And when they say you're going to have to put up with something, I don't really think they may mean certain things that you just named, but sometimes women mean, like, my husband, for example. I feel that, okay, so, like, sometimes he might use his towel and lay it on the counter, okay? And that used
That's
to
compromise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that used to irk me when we first got married. And I used to say, oh, I can't take this. Why don't he pick his towel up? But then I started saying, Monet, look at all the rest of the stuff that he does really well and that he gets right. Is it that serious that he's not picking his towel up? Like, are you going to nag about that or are you just going to let it go? So there are certain things that you pick up that you might put up with that might be not as abrasive as the things that you mentioned. But here's the deal. You never know a man and his heart and how a man's heart might change. Sometimes we think we know ourselves and we don't, given the situation.
Right.
But God knows the end. When we marry until eternity. We hope for. But even the Bible says, who's to say they will or won't change? So the way I look at my life, and other women may disagree with this, I love my husband. I feel like he's a great man. He's awesome. He's an awesome provider. But at the end of the day, I love him for who he is now in my life, hoping for the best, hoping for the future, but not living in fear that, oh, my goodness, one day he gonna leave me or he could leave me. I have a friend that was married for 35 years and her husband up and left and she didn't see any signs. Okay? So things can happen in such a way that you really don't even know. But here's the deal. When you serve God with your whole heart, and you are healed of your wounds and your past, and you give it to God, and you're at a place where you can take everything you have and blend it with this individual that you see yourself with, I believe that our God is just enough to give you your heart's desires if your ways be pleasing unto him, because his word does not change. And so you know as a woman what you're willing to deal with. What you're willing to deal with, the next woman may not be. So
right.
If you pray to God, he's going to send you just what you need and give you a whole lot of what you want. Amen?
Thank you, Jesus. Hey, to the
Amen.
Man. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Can I interject
think somebody else
for a moment for that?
Go ahead.
Hello, go ahead.
When she was saying that women say that you have to go through a lot of things with men, it's true that you do, because men and women change. As the more you're married, so Shonda's married 30-some years and I'm approaching 30, you do go through a lot of things. You go through his changes. As you get older, you change your his needs and his wants change, and so do yours. You go through a lot as you get older. Like the young lady was saying about things that she liked when she was 30, she didn't like when she was 40. Well, as you go through your marriage through 5, 10, 15, 20, and 30 years, you find a lot of different things about him that you didn't know in the beginning. And so you go through a lot of changes in your marriage, your relationship. Because both of you are changing. When you're 30 years old, you like certain things. You dress certain ways. When you're 40, you don't like it. You have to go through the man learning about himself, because as he gets older, he changes. He makes learns new lessons about life. So, yeah, you do go through some things. You do. Sometimes men are not good communicators, and they have to learn to communicate with their wives. They know how to say what they want to say to you, but they don't know how to sit down and talk to you when they're hurting, when things have gone on at the job, and they don't really know how to put it into words, and sometimes you just have to sit there and listen, or sometimes ask them questions, and eventually they'll come out with it. So, yes, you do have to go through things in marriage, because it's life-changing. As you get older, you go through different things, and you find out about yourself. But
I think the young lady was also talking about, you know, going through a lot of the negative and unnecessary stuff, cheating, lying, and things like that. Those are things that you should not have to go through, okay?
No,
you shouldn't have to go through settling for a man, cheating or settling for a man, hitting you, beating you, lying to you, or not helping provide your needs. You shouldn't have to deal with that.
No.
But these are some things that, okay, when you have God on your side, the Bible says the Holy Ghost will reveal all knowledge unto you. These are things that you should see early on in the marriage, because if he's going to cuss you, nine times out of ten, he's probably going to cuss you if he's dating you. There are some cunning people who feel that they can be sly and get in your life, but God, when he's protecting his children, he will reveal that man to you. He'll come to you in a dream and show you something about that man. He'll bring something to you, the other woman to you, and say, oh, well, he's dealing with me too. God will show you things before you get yourself into that situation. When you are his child, he ain't going to let nothing come on, up on you that you ain't been forewarned about. Now, whether or not you receive it, it's up to you. But our God will show it to you if you just ask him. And I did. There was a time in my last marriage, I said, God, show me if he really loves me, because something's not right. I couldn't pinpoint it. But I just knew in my heart something wasn't right. Well, I came to find out something was not right. God showed me in a supernatural way, and then he showed me spiritually, then he showed me in the natural, and then I married him anyway. So everything that I went through, I somewhat brought up on myself, because when I prayed to God and he showed me, I did it anyway. So what I'm saying is, just like Sister Beverly said, there are some things you will deal with, you will go through, because he's going to go through things with you. I was 40 pounds smaller when I married my husband, okay? But he still loves me. So at the end of the day, there are going to be some changes. There are going to be some adjustments. But that is what marriage is about, is dealing with the unknown and adjusting in a way that you both can find peace and serenity about the situation and continue to love each other through it.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
I think well, will you be,
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Hi. My name is Lisa. I have a question.
Hi, Lisa.
Are you dating a guy? How are you?
I'm good.
That's good. When you dating a guy, dating just say for marriage, and he wants to sit down, talk to you, he said, we got to go over a lot of things, because this is what I'm expecting of my wife.
Mm-hmm.
But if you feel this man is a little possessive, it's more than just, okay, that he want to dictate, okay, about your dressing and everything. Is that a little over the top?
I don't think it's okay, so here's the deal. I commend the man for sitting down and writing things out. I think more marriages will either last or not last if each couple would do that. I think that's a very wonderful tactic. I think if he wrote those things down for you, I think you should do the same thing for him, because what he's letting you know verbatim, these are my expectations of you. Let me know if you can fulfill them or not. Okay, it could be based on his religion.
He wrote it down, and we're going to go over it next week. We're supposed to go over this. He's in one town, and I'm in another town. And so it's just,
have you written down anything?
Oh,
have you written down
I have
anything?
Not written down, no.
Why not?
I just had not written. I haven't put it in writing.
Okay, I think you need to start writing. I think you need to either get on your computer, get a pen and paper, and you need to start writing the expectations of him as well.
Okay.
And then when you guys put it out on paper, if it's too much for you to wear long dresses to your ankle, this is an example. I don't know what he's asking, right? But if it's too much for you to wear a hammock or a veil over your face or whatever, and you say, I'm not the one for that, then know what you want. And if you're not the one for that, don't settle. Don't marry this man knowing I ain't going to be able to live up to this, because what's going to happen is he's not going to settle, because it sounds like this is a man who knows what he wants. And I'm so glad he's putting it in writing and he's letting you see. If you feel like it's some form of dictatorship, one woman may feel like, oh, this is not too bad. But you may look at it and say, man, you're trying to control me, and I don't think this is good, because I can't live like this. So you have to know you. before you get in a relationship as a woman, you have to know yourself. Some women get into a relationship and they learn who they are through their mate, and that's me. I somewhat knew who I was, but John helped me to get to know myself better and who I was as a woman. But what I'm saying is, if he's put it out all on paper, I think that's a wonderful idea. I think you need to go to writing, and then I think you guys need to compare. And then at that point, you can pick or choose.
Okay, another question I want to ask you. See, him and I mean, we have this great relationship, and, you know, we both feel like that that God blessed us to meet each other.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen each other on pictures. He's seen the full body, everything. So he made a statement today. I'm going in there. He made a statement today that kind of offended me. He said, and he was serious about it. He said, I wanted to see this. Don't take it this way. He said, what if you lied, like this girl lied before, that he had seen her pretty, but she said that she was something, but she ended up being like 350 pounds. I got offended because the simple fact is I'm a professional woman. I'm not a liar, and I don't know about changing, taking somebody's picture, saying that this is me. So I had a problem with that, because if you say God, it's all in supernatural. We're going on to the second, what is it, 2 Corinthians 7 and 14? No, 2 and 14, that, you know, this happened in the spiritual realm about the two of us. And, you know, he told me God is giving me confirmation.
So I know you want to believe that, and I'm not saying this man is lying.
Okay.
But with most men, it's always the natural. It's always looking at you, looking at what you're looking like. That's what draw them to you. This sounds like a man who's in the internet dating, so you're probably not his first swing over the internet. And, yes, he has been lied to by other women, and he's probably been damaged a little bit based on the relationship that he's encountered over the internet. So you have to be careful about that as well. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know this man from a man on the moon, but most men on the internet, they can possibly find that one woman and stick to that one woman, okay? But warning to the wise, most of them are chatting with multiple women, okay? I'm not saying this is a bachelor man, but most of them are chatting. So here's the deal.
Oh, yeah.
This is what you do. He told you what? He told you what?
Well, no, we were just saying the closer time he's getting excited, I'm getting excited and everything, and then he said, "Let me tell you what happened to me before about 2 years ago."
Well, he said, that's before you, and he shouldn't even bring
it's
that up.
Like, why would he even mention that?
Right. Well,
why would he even mention that?
He was scarred. So therefore, he's remembering what he went through when he met this other lady, and she was 300-something pounds. So he's hoping he's not going to spend his money, get prepared for you, and then see you, and then you're 300-something pounds. So that's his concern. But the truth of the matter is, what I suggest for you is to write down everything you want in a man.
So you don't think I should have took that offensively? I was very highly insulted.
Absolutely, but it's not a deal breaker, right? Yeah, you should have taken it offensively, but it's not a deal breaker. It's not something to say, oh, I'm not talking to you ever again. Because however you met him, that's what he did before he met you. You see? So
this is him. He said, babe, sometimes I want you to tell me how much time you spend in the Word. You know, because he's a minister. He spends time in the Word. He likes to study. He said, because my wife, I want her to know the Word of God. I want her to spend time in the book. Because my wife is going to be a reflection of me.
Okay. Well, that's what he wants. We can't knock the man for what he wants. Okay, so here's what I'm going to say about this, and then we've got to move on. But what I'm going to say about this is that he knows what he wants. You need to know what you want. You need to know what you can do. You need to ensure that he's not having high expectations for you to fulfill, and you're not being able to fulfill them, because he's not going to be happy with you if you can't fulfill him. What he wants is what he wants. But at least he's been honest about it. You're not going into the relationship, and he's not coming home looking at you saying, have you read your Bible today? Give me a scripture, quote a scripture. I mean, giving you Bible study and all that. So you have to know what you're willing to
to take, what you're willing to do, what you're willing to settle for. So I suggest you write down everything you want in a man, not what you want in him, but everything you want in a man. If you could have the
Amen.
Epitome of a husband, what would that be? Take it, compare it with what he has, and ask him, can you fulfill this? And check out the things that he's willing to do and the things that he's willing not. And if you've got 20 things and he's only willing to do 5, you can do the math. You're not going to be happy. You're going to be happy 5% of the time.
Okay.
All
okay.
right, ladies. Thank you so
Amen.
Much for your questions. And thank you so much, Sister Monette. We thank you
yes,
for
ma'am.
Answering our ladies' questions. I'm sorry that we don't have more time, but that's the reason why we're launching Mojo.
Talk radio.
Blog talk radio. Relationships and marriage. That's going to
yes.
be coming October 18th, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So, ladies, those of you that are listening, be sure you tune in that night, and then you can get some more of your questions answered. You can have more things to talk about. So, coming October 18th, the Mojo Blog Talk Radio Show about relationships and marriage. Thank you, ladies, again. I have Sister Elder Jordan on the line tonight. She would like to make a slight announcement before we leave about the upcoming Exhaling Conference. Elder Jordan, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I can. Would you go ahead and do your announcement, please?
Amen. Absolutely. God bless all of the listeners and the awesome women that were going forth on tonight. It's powerful, powerful. I enjoyed it. We are having Women with Expressions Waiting to Exhale. And that is an awesome experience that you will have the opportunity to experience on this weekend, Friday, September the 12th, 13th, and 14th, Friday and Saturday, we will be at the Hotel Las Colinas in Las Colinas, Texas. And you still have time to register. You can register to attend for $25. You can stay at the hotel to enjoy all the ambiance and all of what that experience entails for $185. So we are looking forward to a powerful, powerful exhaling experience in the presence of the Lord. And you can call me at 972-741-8207. You can hit us up on Facebook, Linda Jordan Ministries, MINISTRIES. Or you can email me at exhalingministry@sbcglobal.net. And we are excited. It's going to be an awesome time of a sister helping a sister needing to exhale. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much for that announcement. All of you that are available and able to attend, we want to see you at the Las Colinas Hotel on Friday
Amen.
Night starting at 7:30. Saturday will be all day. They have activities going on all day Saturday, and then they have another service Saturday night, right, Elder Jordan?
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Thank
All
you.
Right. Yes, come on out and be a part of a Sister Exhaling. I want to let you know that our sisters have enjoyed you tonight, Sister Monette, and
Thank
they're
you.
Telling me that
I've enjoyed
we need
them.
We need more of you. So I'm going to tell them to please join in with you on October the 18th when you have
Thank
your
you.
First show. If I can get you to come back before then, I will have you on again on another Monday night because they have truly enjoyed it tonight. And we thank you so much for your participation. We thank you for, ladies, for joining in on the line tonight. Those that are listening by computer, we thank you for listening. And God bless all of you. And I want to share This information also we will be having on October the 11th. The Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church will be having their annual prayer brunch at the church at 4802 Brahma Road. On October the 25th, we will be introducing Blog Talk Radio to the community, our Women Empowerment Conference. I will be sending out a save-the-date card to all of you that I have your email address to, and we're looking to have a good time at the First Free Will Baptist Church from 12 to 4 on October the 25th. Mark your calendars. Please come and join us. Please come and set up your tables and tell us about your ministries and listen to our excellent speakers that we will be having. And come on out and just be pampered that day. We'll have vendors, we'll have massages, we'll have Mary Kay, we'll have purses and jewelry and just all kinds of things for you ladies to enjoy from 12 to 4. So God has truly been blessing us on this. And if you do have a ministry, we will allow you to set up a table with your brochures and your flyers about your ministry absolutely free. We're not charging for this event. And then we're going to have some food. So I know you're going to come out now because it's going to be food. We are going to have a small little luncheon that afternoon. So come on and join us from 12 to 4 at the First Free Will Baptist Church to our first annual Women's Empowerment Conference. Okay, ladies? Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Do we have any other announcements before I ask Sister Monette,
I just
want to
thank the young lady for coming on and giving such an excellent talk to the callers. It was just showing you that this program is needed. And I look forward to your first show on October 18th. And by the callers, we got to get going.
Well, praise God.
Amen.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
Amen.
I'm blessed and humbled.
I think it's going to be dynamite. God is going to show up and show out, as he usually does.
Yes.
And he's going to give our women some information on all the different things that their heart and mind has been thinking about and pondering on. And we are blessed to have Sister Monette to want to do this for our sisters and our brothers who will be listening also, because it will be a female and male show. And we hate that we couldn't get Brother John on tonight, because he could have answered some of some questions about the male tonight for us, but he's a working man.
Well, he walked in during the show, so I'm just going to let him say hi briefly.
Okay,
hello.
Thank you.
Please,
hi,
like,
Brother
hello.
John. How are you?
Hello,
all right.
How are you
we're
doing?
Looking forward. We're looking forward to hearing from you and your tips and points on how to keep our relationships and marriages going. And God bless you for wanting to do this show for us. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. Look forward to talking to you
thank
soon.
Thank you. All right.
I'm woken
we'll do
up
that.
Out of the sleep.
Okay. Okay, Sister Monette, would you go ahead and give us the closing prayer for tonight?
Amen. Father God, we just thank you on tonight, oh Heavenly Father. I ask that you bless every woman under the sound of my voice, oh Heavenly Father. Bless Granny's Place as a whole in every Blog Talk Radio show that's affiliated with Granny's Place. God, I ask that you just would nourish and flourish the ministry in the name of Jesus. God, continue to do a work in all of us as we seek to be pleasing unto your sight. I ask, God, that you bless those who might be dealing with marital problems even as I speak, God. I ask that you bless those who might be dealing with tough situations on if they should marry or if they should not. I ask that you show them and lead them and guide them, God. I ask that you bless those who are single and who long to have a loved one, an affectionate husband, a loving husband. I ask, God, that you send them their Boaz in the name of Jesus, God. If you did it for me, I know there's one for them. So, God, I just thank you on tonight. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord. May it not be in vain, God, and I humbly embrace this opportunity, God. I thank you for everything you're doing in our lives and the things that you're yet going to do. Keep us safe, God, from all hurt, harm, or danger. It is in Christ Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And also I would like to ask you, ladies and gentlemen that are listening, to join Free on the Inside, hosted by Deacon Brother Joel Lewis, on the same number, on Saturday mornings from 8 to 9, who he has featured guests that provide lots of information for men and women. And just join him on Saturday morning from 8 to 9. God bless each of you. Thank each of you for joining us tonight. I love you all. Have a great night and a better tomorrow. God
bless
you.
Good
night. Good
night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night. Thank you, everybody.